The bar is low. The bar is buried. Hello, ladies, and the 2% of gentlemen that watch this channel. Gentlemen, you might want to click off because I'm going to complain about y'all for a second. I have gathered you all here today to talk about the audacity of being a 30-year-old lady dating in today's society. If we could even fucking call it that at this point. It's the Wild West out there, let's be honest. Hold up, I don't know why I'm so close to the camera. We're going to bring it on back because we're going to be flailing around outside of this Walmart because I'm going to lose my mind. I figure we should have a little bit of a kiki because I'm exhausted. You know, mulling it over, letting out some frustration, and maybe getting somewhere productive in the end. I doubt it, but here we go. I don't know, I've just been feeling like a little bit let down recently by humanity in general. Let's just take it that far. I know that sounds dramatic, but I digress. But do you know who never lets me down? The sponsor of this video, which is Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified organic meal kit company that helps you cook clean no matter your lifestyle. They have options for keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free. I've been using Green Chef for 2 years now, and as someone who strongly dislikes the monotony of daily decisions like what to make for dinner, let me just tell you that it is so nice having everything I need to make a delicious meal at home delivered to my doorstep, saving me time, effort, and energy. Not only that, but I noticed as a result my cooking skills have improved as well as my culinary horizons have been broadened because I'm trying ingredients that I probably wouldn't have picked up at the store otherwise. It's so simple, I just choose from the 24 weekly meal choices they offer, which are constantly changing up by the way. They keep it fresh, they keep it exciting, and then a meal kit is delivered to my doorstep. The ingredients are pre-measured with minimal prep and the instructions have pictures. So if you're curious yourself about Green Chef and you want to try them out, you can head on over to greenchef.com, use code Beatrice135 to get $135 off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, for $135 off plus free shipping on your first box, you go to greenchef.com, you slap in code Beatrice135, and you could try them out for yourself on a discount. Huge thank you again to Green Chef for sponsoring this video. Now let's get back into it. Okay, so I have been out here in these streets dating what have been presented to me as grown-ass men. That is questionable. For the past month now, and in the past 2 weeks, I have decided to expedite the process. Like, not text them and get to know them before agreeing to go out, just going out on dates rapid fire really quickly, making it more quick and painless, and more about the social aspect of getting out there, socializing, being less awkward, learning how to meet people. Everything was fine and dandy. I was having fun, I was going on all these dates, but then I was also experiencing a lot of rejection, which is fine because I know I'm not gonna be everyone's cup of tea. My whole strategy for dating is to be as unapologetically myself as I can possibly be right out the gate. So we kind of skip that whole on your best behavior 3 month dating thing before you actually figure out who someone is. Because I feel like if I'm myself, that lets people be their self right out of the gate. I know who they are and all those red flags come out, honey. And boy, do they come out. The only thing that I'm dishonest about is what I do for a living. I don't tell people about the YouTube thing. I don't tell them that I make videos for a living about my life. One, if they found my channel, they would have access to all of this personal information about me. Because I am 100% myself on this bitch, you know what I mean? So I just think like it would be really easy to like manipulate someone's feelings about you if you had access to like literally everything down to their daddy issues. You know what I mean? Like that's not ideal. Also, I did social media to a couple of people that I was like talking to for a while just to kind of see what would happen. And one of two things happened. Either they were disgusted by it and thought that I was like really full of myself or narcissistic for posting videos about myself, even though they didn't really know me yet, or they were super excited about it and were trying to figure out ways that I could use my platform to help them for their own self-gain. So even though I don't want to lie to these people and start a relationship off that way, I feel like it's a good way to protect myself to just not mention it. I justify it. I mean, if they feel a type of way, if I do eventually tell them, then you know what I mean? I feel like my reasons are valid. There were very few that were just neutral about the whole social media thing. People feel one way or the other about it. It's a thing. But I don't really need to worry about the long term because no one is exactly sticking around. And maybe it's because I'm using a dating app to try to find people, but the options for meeting someone organically are like few and far between. But 30 is a weird age for dating anyway because there ain't no one out there that hasn't experienced any kind of like trauma or heartbreak at this point. Like, I'm fine with people having baggage because it's unavoidable. I got baggage, but I feel like I'm also toting it through the airport myself, you know what I mean? And tagging it, being responsible for it, not leaving it unattended to where people think it's a bomb. Does that make sense? So what I'm looking for is how they handle that baggage. Are they able to self-reflect? Are they emotionally available? Do they have any kind of emotional intelligence? Are they blaming everything on a crazy ex or multiple crazy exes? Red flag, run, because you are going to be someone that they blame no matter what you do when they jump off to the next. But once you sift through the sea of sad people that are freshly out of long-term relationships, hating women, empty and jaded, or opening a conversation with overtly sexual messages right out of the gate. Like, sir, no one needs to know about you wanting to lick everyone's butthole. Stop. Does that work? I don't know. I don't think it does. Right out of the gate, just telling someone you want to lick their butthole. There's no way. There's no way in the history of man that that has ever been attractive. There is no way. Unless you're like on a site where like that's the goal. You know what I mean? I'm flabbergasted, honestly. Why, that's an opener. But once you sift through surface level crazy, you start dating people that you have actual conversations with. You know what I mean? That can carry a conversation. The bar is low. The bar is buried. So I'm just gonna tell you about like some of the situations that I've gotten myself into recently. There's certainly not all of them. Been going on a lot of dates recently. Most of them were just like mediocre and then just I got ghosted afterwards. So that's fine. I'm here for it, honestly. One of the first dates that I went on, we went to a fancy restaurant, like way fancier than who I am as a person. Like, girl, I'm like IHOP at 4 a.m. or maybe Olive Garden on a good day fancy. But this place was fancy and expensive. And I was meeting a guy that we will call Kevin because that's his name. I'm just kidding. It's not his name. But I think it's funny when people do that. That's not his name though, I swear. So Kevin and I, the banter was there. We like talked back and forth. He seemed funny, all of this stuff. And I met him at this swanky restaurant. And it would have probably been a good first date had I not caught him checking out the waitress. You know? She came and took our drink order. And then like as she was walking away, I followed his eyes down as he like gave her the once over, you know, checking out that rump. And she was very beautiful. I'll give him that. But I mean, could you at least be like a little bit more sneaky about it? Fuck. Like, I'm meeting you for the first time. But that wasn't necessarily like a deal breaker for me because like I was thinking in my head, like maybe that wasn't what he was doing. It totally was, but maybe it wasn't. I was still trying to like talk to him and have like this conversation. But then he just like starts trauma dumping on me, like all of the crazy stuff that he's endured in his childhood. And then as a result, his adulthood and the arrests that he's had and like all of this stuff. And like, I admit, like the stuff that he told me that happened in his childhood that I won't repeat, that was a lot. Like, I was like, are you okay? But I really don't know what to do in these types of situations, like what the protocol is, how do you get someone off of this topic once they're starting. So I was just like listening, asking questions about it, telling him I was sorry, and like all of this stuff. I don't know what to do in that situation, but he wasn't really asking about me or anything. He was just kind of monologuing. The one thing he did ask about me was about YouTube, because he's one of the ones that I told that I make videos. I didn't tell him the channel name or anything, but he asked me how many subscribers I had, and then he asked me what made me so special that people watch me, which I thought was like a little bit backhanded, and I honestly didn't know how to answer it because I don't know. I was just like, I don't know, I'm just normal and I like vlog my life. And he and he looked at me like I was the dumbest person on the planet. And then he goes into like this whole monologue about how he hates online dating and like the apps and that like you have to talk for like 4 days before you meet someone. And we had talked for at that point exactly 4 days before I met him. So I was like really personally kind of offended. Anyways, and then the bill comes and he sighed and he like looked annoyed or whatever. And like, I always like offer to at least pay half. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to like get anyone to pay for me for anything. That's one of like my insecurities. I don't want me to feel like I owe anybody anything. Fucking hate that shit. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, you're taking advantage of me for money, all that stuff. Fucking hate it. So I'm like digging in my purse and like I get out my card. I put my card on the thing. He puts his card on the thing. I'm thinking I'll pay for my meal, my drink, the things that I got, and we'll split like the appetizer or whatever, and he'll pay for all of his shit. Because let me tell you, I got the mushroom risotto and one drink. We got an appetizer. He got the biggest ribeye that I have ever seen in my life. Four drinks, and these drinks, mind you, were like $15 a piece. So it was a lot. The waitress comes and he says to split the check. My bill was $100. Sis, I paid $100 for this meal. I bought this man two drinks, basically, and half a steak. And provided him with free therapy. For what? I will give Kevin this, though. He at least walked me to my car at night downtown. Because there is some people that are sketchy as fuck. Walking around downtown there was a man who was frothing from the mouth, acting like he was on something when we got out of the restaurant. So I was thankful at least that he walked me to my car. Thank you, Kevin, for that. I'm sorry, I had to turn on the car. It's getting toasty AF in here. Another guy, let's call him Rudy. Rudy was a couple of inches shorter than me. I'm not telling you that for shallow purposes. I'm telling you because it's pertinent to the story and you'll see why in a little bit. Because honestly, I would entertain a short king. You know what I mean? Morticia and Gomez Adams. Power couple. Plus, I'm rarely attracted to people physically in the beginning anyway. It more like comes later after I get to know them and I have some kind of mental connection with them. You know what I mean? That's just how I operate. So I date a wide variety of people. I don't have a physical type. Anyway, even though I wasn't focused on looks, Rudy was. Rudy was very complimentary, which sounds like a good thing, right? Like, it's nice to have someone think that you're pretty. But when they cut you off mid-sentence every 5 minutes to admire your beauty, to tell you that you're pretty, it's kind of a lot and it makes you uncomfortable. And it didn't feel genuine. I was kind of wondering, like, is he wanting me to compliment him back? You know what I mean? I don't know why this is happening, but I can't at this point get a thought out so you could actually get to know me. Like, I was so uncomfortable. I even told him that I was uncomfortable with it. I was like, you gotta stop doing this. I don't know how to receive compliments. I'm uncomfortable. But like, I was laughing through it the whole time because that's what I do when I'm uncomfortable. I laugh. That's also what I do when I get hurt. Like, if I fall down or something and I'm in pain, I laugh. I don't know if I should bring that up with my therapist, but it has been a problem for me in various situations because people don't get the hint that, like, I'm not having a good time. Like, maybe also for the compliments, I got the vibe that he thought, like, it was just like a confidence issue. Like, oh, she doesn't think that she's beautiful. I'm gonna show her that she is beautiful. But he just continued to do it, except for when we started talking about all of the bad dates that we've been on, because he got on this whole rant. He started monologuing. He started talking a lot about, you know, going through the story of like this bad date, which was the only time I felt comfortable because he wasn't staring into my soul and telling me that I was pretty. But then it's my turn to contribute to the conversation and tell my bad dating story. So I decided, because it had recently happened, you know, it was pretty fresh in my memory and it was a lot, to tell the plumber story. I'm trying to relay the facts. I'm trying to recall things. I'm trying to tell them in chronological order. But as I'm trying to do this, Rudy decides that he is going to get closer and closer to me. So I have my hand like on my knee and he decides that he's going to put his hand on my hand. I'm struggling to recall the facts at this point because I feel Rudy like inching closer and closer and closer to me as I'm trying to tell the story. And it's apparent that I'm getting nervous because I can't remember what the hell I was going to say. So I keep taking these long pauses and looking off to the side, like trying to recall the information while this whole ass man is just slowly making their way toward me, inch by inch. I swear to you, it was in slow motion and it took at least half an hour. It was, I don't know what the fuck was happening. When I tell you that I felt like a deer in the middle of a meadow, slowly getting crept up on by a lion. That's the only way that I could describe this experience. And like, I'm laughing, you know, because I'm uncomfortable. So I realized that on his end, you know what I mean? Like, that's some mixed signals. Rudy is like this far from my face. I understand that the laughing might have been like a little bit of a mixed signal, like, we're just playing around kind of thing. Like, no, I'm uncomfortable. If you weren't clued in, I was also like turtle shelling away. Like, my head was literally like this, back, trying to get away from Rudy's face. I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm just trying to see if you're a bad kisser or not. And I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to tell people before you kiss them. Because then they're going to be worried that they're a bad kisser. And I was like, Rudy, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. I am a bad kisser. I flat out say it because I am. I am. I hate kissing people, especially people that I don't know that well. This is a first date, Rudy. We don't even know each other. You certainly don't know me because you haven't been listening to a damn thing that I've been saying. Oh, and the height thing was important to mention because I didn't feel threatened by him. Like, I was thinking about it later on and I was like, if Rudy was like a larger man and I didn't feel like I could beat him in an arm wrestling competition, I would have felt like my life was in jeopardy in that moment. And that's probably how Rudy gets away with some of the shit that he's been doing. I don't know why people think the things that they do are okay when it comes to like personal space. So Rudy is the only guy that I ghosted. So it's like, you gotta do some big stuff wrong for me to not, you know, give you a second chance or to like get to know you more. You know what I mean? Because I always feel like first dates are super awkward and people maybe like they're not fully themselves or whatever. So like, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. So the last tale I'm gonna tell is about Tim. And me and Tim hung out 4 times. First date went actually pretty well for first date. We went to a fancy restaurant. The conversation was decent. While we were at the restaurant, he asked me if I liked golfing. Again, I'm very transparent. I flat out said, I hate golf. I don't even like mini golf. And then Tim proceeds to ask me if I want to go golfing after this because even though I hate it, there's this place that has like all these dinosaurs because I told him that I made like a giant like paper mache dinosaur that he thought that I would think was cool. And because I was having a good time with Tim, I decided that I would go mini golfing with him, you know, and that was kind of a way to be like, hey, I like you enough to do something that I don't want to do. And I will never go mini golfing again, no matter if it's my soulmate or not, because mini golfing sucks. We went to the mini golf place. We were sandwiched between 2 families with tons of kids. It was just like really hot and the sun was beating down on us. And we weren't really talking as much because a lot of it was just like waiting for our turn to go and then being pressured to take our turn by the family that was immediately behind us. It was just really busy and it was just like whatever. And I was just trying to like Happy Gilmore shots to like get them in the hole. And Tim was like, why don't you try like squaring up to the ball or whatever, and he kind of showed me how to do it, and then I like kind of snapped back and I was like, well, Tim, I don't feel like I need to do that because you're doing that and I'm doing just as good as you are. And I was kidding, but like, it was like, I think that that was the reason why, like, at the end of the date he was standing like 6 feet away from me and he's just like, bye. And I was like, bye, you know. And I kind of felt like Tim was not interested, but I ended up texting him again because I felt like, okay, mini golf could have just been like a glitch. Like, we had a lot of like good conversations before that. Okay, before we even went out, Tim asked me like what I wanted for the future. Like, he asked me and I told him like what I wanted in a relationship, what I saw me doing in my future, all this stuff. And he was like really impressed by that, and he had a lot of the same sentiments about like what he wanted for himself in his future and all this stuff. So it's kind of like a good sign when they're talking about the future and seeing if yours aligns with theirs, I thought. Anyway, so I reach back out to him. I just say something that I think is funny and I'm just trying to like feel out the vibe. He proceeds to tell me that he kind of just felt like we were better as friends, and if I still wanted to be friends, then that would be cool because he doesn't have many here. And I was like, cool, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I don't have a lot of friends either, and I do really enjoy your company and all this stuff. So I was like, that's better than nothing. Plus, like, it'd be cool to have like more people to go and do stuff with in a platonic way. So a little while later, Tim invites me out to go get tacos. Our second hangout felt more like a date than the first date. We're eating tacos, we're laughing, there's good conversation, we walk around downtown, we end up getting ice cream. Like, we're being cute as fuck. Like, so freaking cute that this drunk guy decides to stop and tell us how cute we're being. Like, that cute. And the vibe was definitely flirty. Like, I thought there was like a little bit of a linger at the end, like when he told me bye or whatever. And he also told me to text him when I got home. And you don't tell someone that unless you're worried that they'll perish in a horrific car accident. And then the texting got more flirty. We hung out a third time. And then after this time, like, again, just it was just very much a dating vibe. I just straight up asked him again. I was like, I don't really pick up on these things well. Are we still being friends? This feels like I'm dating someone. I was like, I'm not trying to put labels on anything. I'm just trying to know so I know how to curb my expectations at this point. Like, I don't want to be thinking that this is going to go somewhere when it's not. You know, I'm just very much wanting to, like, get back in that friend zone if that's all you're wanting. And then he tells me that he is interested in pursuing a romantic relationship with me. So I'm like, okay, green light, let's go. So we set up a fourth date. Tim's vibe changes. Like, the day of that fourth date, all of a sudden, even though he's been texting me all day long, every day for the past like 2 weeks, he stops texting me on this fourth date day. I end up texting him at 1 o'clock, just trying to make sure like the date is still on, which he says that it is. But then he shows up an hour late to pick me up. We go to dinner and then like a drive-in movie, and he's kind of acting like kind of more distant and disinterested. And then when he's driving me back home, he starts telling me about like this guy he knows who like hates his wife, apparently, and is so excited that she's going on vacation because he can have the house to himself and all this stuff. And I'm just like sitting there in complete silence because like at this point I know. I'm like, you fucking idiot, Tim. I see where this is going. But he's still like super affectionate and like trying to cuddle me and all this stuff. And I'm just like, what is actually happening? I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. So I'm just like playing along. I was like, okay, maybe he's just telling me the story about this shitty guy he knows. But when he goes to leave, he had that same look on his face after our first date. And he was like, we should play this board game that I have together sometime. And I just like looked at him and I was like, okay, Tim, we'll make sure to do that. Knowing damn well that Tim was never gonna be seen again. Goodbye forever, Tim. Goodbye. So he doesn't text me the rest of the night, the rest of the next day. I finally break down and I text him because I'm kind of pissed at this point, because this is twice that the same man has rejected me and like led me on. So I text him and I was like, hey, I 1000% got the same vibe from you that I got after our first date. You know, it's fine. It would be cool if you would tell me rather than ghosting me at this point, because we spent a lot of time like getting to know each other. We went on several dates. It was just kind of shitty. He texts me back almost immediately and he says, sorry, not ghosting you, just at work. Tim has been texting me while he's at work for the past 2 weeks. But I say, okay. Tim waits till 9:30 at night to like text me back just to tell me what we all know is coming. Okay, so it's the standard text. He's like, look, you're smart, you're pretty, you got things going on for you, but I'm just not feeling it. Which is fine. And then I proceed to tell Tim, thank you for telling me. You know, because thank you for telling me. And then he says that he just doesn't think that he has feelings anymore. Like, not feelings for me, like feelings in general about anything. I was like, okay, Tim, I don't think that that's true because I wasn't getting psychopath vibes from you, but whatever you say. I think what bothers me about Tim is not necessarily that he rejected me, but the whole time he was the one pushing this narrative. I didn't bring up the future or whatever. I'm just treating everything really casual. I asked him straight up, like, okay, like, what is this again? I'm just trying to curb my expectations. And he flat out told me that he was pursuing a romantic relationship with me. Why do that when you have every opportunity to just be friends or to just hang out or whatever else? Like, why push that narrative? For what? But I just kind of feel over it at this point. I think like it's just so difficult for me to like form connections, and I'm at this like constant juxtaposition between like real life and how no one seemingly wants to like keep me in their life. Like, very few people. Like, I have few close friends, and then like the juxtaposition of a bunch of people online telling me how like they want to be my friend and all this stuff, that it's like a total mind fuck, right? It's like I don't know what's real. It's like, what is it about me that is like repelling people away in person? Because I'm literally the same person. And it's not like I'm having a pity party or something like that. It's like, I really just like want to know, because this is like a common theme that comes up time and time again. Like, I check all these boxes, but there's just something that's like off. You know what I mean? And I'm very curious what it is. But I digress. So the good news is I am getting very good at rejection, but I think that I am going to take a breather from the dating realm because it's a lot and I'm exhausted, and I think that I should probably date myself for a while and figure out myself because that's the one that I'm gonna be stuck with no matter what. And I was thinking about it and I was like, why am I so willing to accept anyone else's flaws? You know what I mean? Like, make excuses for people, unless of course they're like Rudy and they don't know about personal space. You know what I mean? Like, why is that as bad as it has to get for me to reject someone else? But when it comes to myself, I am the hardest person on myself. Like, I hold myself to like such a high standard, and like I'm always like ragging on myself, and I'm like always like, okay, like self-love, grace, all that stuff, but it's conditional. But it's in the condition of like, okay, if I'm being productive or if I'm like doing something good. It's not that same kind of unconditional love that you give someone else and you like accept their flaws or whatever. Not saying that I want to stagnate, because like what I want in a relationship is to like find someone, a best friend, where like we have our own interests, but we come together and we challenge each other and we grow, hopefully in the same direction. You know what I mean? Ideally. So maybe I should just kind of start taking that concept and applying it to just myself and really learn to be okay independently, because I only feel really lonely when I'm with other people, which is a crazy thing. Like, I don't feel alone when I'm alone. Feel alone when I'm with other people and they're illustrating just how much we don't connect, how awkward I am. I don't know, the concept of dating yourself is honestly kind of cringe, has always been kind of cringe to me, you know, but I'm entertaining it more and more because at this point I feel like delving into like a little bit of a better sense of self-love would not be bad. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to the spiel. I hope you're having a wonderful day. If you want to subscribe, hit that notification bell, all of that stuff, you know, that'd be greatly appreciated. And if so, then I'll see you on the next one.